Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, please, and open to Psalms chapter 46. Psalms 46 tonight, as we think about the fear factor. In this world today, there's a lot of things to fear, a lot of things that can scare us. I could list a lot of things. I think about the economy and the future of America, and I think about how we're ever going to begin to pay that debt. And you can't just keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing for an answer, and sooner or later it's going to catch up to us. You find that out with your own checkbook, that doesn't work. Sometimes kids would say, well, you have more checks, you have money. You still have that card, you can get what you want, you have that card. Not realizing that, you have to have something in there. I think sometimes that's how governments run, but it can, you think about the educational system and think about what they're teaching today and think about our culture, what we're believing and what we're following today. It's kind of scary out there. But God's people have a lot of hope. And God's given us tonight, what we're going to look at, we're going to look at a song. Psalm 46 is a song. It's a Hebrew song. And it's a song about the millennium. They sang a lot about the millennium. It gave them hope. It gave them hope about the future and how God's going to sustain them. And actually, this is in a cluster. This psalm is in a cluster of other psalms that talk about different verses, refer to the millennium. And I think that it gave them encouragement then. It referred to different things then at that time. It referred to a future event. I can think of this. I think that today, it's still, even though, think about Israel and you think about, applying things of life and in future. But I think about the church of the living God today, how this can be applicable to us and how that we can, know that God watches over us today. And then I think about the tribulation saints, who I'm real excited about. I'm glad I'm not going to be a tribulation saint. But I'm glad that there's scriptures just as good that's going to give them hope that God's going to sustain them, take care of them. Now, I literally believe this. I believe that there is going to be people of God that's going to literally walk into the millennium. They're not going to die. You're going to literally walk into the millennium period. God's going to get them through that. There's going to be a lot of martyrs. There's going to be a lot of death. There's going to be a lot of tribulation and trials, but there's going to be some that's literally going to walk into the kingdom. That would be quite exciting to witness all that, amen? But going to be quite exciting for me coming back riding on my fiery white horse. I'm just excited about that. And so, but these verses, I don't know how many times I've drawn strength and hope and promise in adversity and affliction. God not only encourages us when everything's going good, but when our world's falling apart, I'm glad there's scriptures that we can go to that's even though it may not seem well in our economy, God has his hand on the thermostat and all is well. All is well. There's a preacher tonight going to go through, he's going to go through a big tribulation. I ask you to pray for him. And after the church service, I'm going to send a little note to him that says, is it well? Is it well? And I think about, what story am I thinking about? Read my mind. Back there, what prophet was it? Elisha? When her son died and she got on a donkey and rode out and the servant came out and said, her son is dead, but the servant came out. Elisha sent her out and said, how is it? Is he okay? Everything well? And she said, it is well. But her son died. You know why? She knew that prophet would take care of it. Well, that prophet's a type of God. He's symbolic of God. And so, we know that God will take care of it again somehow, some way. Amen? Doesn't mean it always going to eliminate all of our difficulties. We're going to see in this psalm that not only does God help us, but sometimes we are in the tribulation. He didn't remove the tribulation, but he goes through it with us, the trial, the difficulty. And so it's a great psalm. First of all, the theme here, what we have is we have the theme that God is our refuge. And that is the opening words. That's what the chapter is about. It's interesting to me, but the word strength in this chapter in Hebrew is spelled O-Z. It's like O-Z-E, actually, but it's O-Z. Think of Oz is when I look, that's what I think of for the word strength. I thought that was interesting, but I feel like sometimes I'm in the world of Oz, America. And I'm glad that I got God's strength to get through this world that we live in. Verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We'll look at these verses here collectively here in a moment, but that's the theme verse, and that pretty much nails down what this chapter is about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven tonight, we come to you. We bring our lives to you. And Father, we don't know what all some are facing right now. We don't know yet what we may face, and we don't know what others may face. But we do know that you'll help us face and deal with whatever comes our way. And God, we're thankful and grateful for that, and count it to be a privilege to have such a wonderful, great God. And so as the world falls apart, and as the world gets darker and darker, our God, help us not to look at them, but keep our eyes upon you. It seemed like Peter got in trouble when he looked at the water and the storm and took his eyes off you and began to sink. And so, our Father, help us to stay focused. Give us encouragement from this great psalm that would lift up the Jews as they would travel and sing this psalm and ponder upon its meaning. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You know, if you look real close there, you see to the chief musician. Musician is sons of Korah. I think that's encouraging right there, because Korah's kids have problems. You know, there were some of them that the world opened up and swallowed them up, and the world closed on them for going against Moses. They were mad that Moses had such authority, and they didn't. And they were jealous of that, and they got in big trouble. And here, I think it's encouraging me. I see God's grace by handing this over to Korah, the chief musician, that shows me that some of them still around, some of them live for God. And by the way, some of them, there is portions of scriptures when others were sinning, they were not. They did learn some lessons. And so I see God's grace even on who is David handed this over to have him record this psalm. You know, when we think about refuge, the word refuge carries the idea of a shelter, of a hope, of a place that you can go of safety, of a place of security. And when you think of that word refuge, I think of a story that a guy told me this week about. He was out west, and some tornadoes went through there and just wiped out a big area out west. And months back, I take it. And you know, he went out there to help and encourage people and help with churches and things. He said they were in a shelter. And he said they told a story. They said they were in a shelter, but when the tornadoes were coming, they had a place for them to go of safety. They're in there, and they're looking out, and they're asking him. They said, he got out, come up the steps, and looked out the shelter, and he said his house was gone. And they said, there's nothing there? He said, no, it is gone. It's just right to the foundation. And the neighbor said, how about my house? Looked over there, said, your house is gone too. Everything is just gone. It's flattened out, and just devastation. But the shelter did just fine. The shelter held. I just want you to know, the world, we don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how much trouble the world's going to be in before the church is taken out. But it looks like we could get in a big trouble before this takes place. But I do know this, that our foundation stands sure. We have a refuge that we can go to and secure in that. It says God is our refuge. When I think about God being a refuge, God being a shelter, God being our hope, the word God is, I think that's comforting right there, to know that God is. It's a description of God is. He exists right this day. You know, there's some people that don't know that God is. Aren't you glad that He is? And the is for us. And so, and then, you know, we think of there, what is He? Well, God is our refuge, and it gives definitions of what all He is, kind of qualifying His characteristics of in this refuge. Well, He's our strength. Now, I got to tell you that I've experienced strength in tribulation, that I was already done. There's been days that I said, well, one thing about this day, God, this next step is not Don Snow. This next step and anything that happens after that is God. And I got the tie. Somebody actually got me this tie, Footprints in the Sand, for Christmas. That's one of my favorite thoughts, you know, that I could just see God carrying me. And thinking, you know, probably, you know, I'm glad His arms don't get tired, because I would think, well, I'm tired of doing this. You know, He's carrying us a lot, amen. But you know, I think you get. I think there's something about experience in that. I don't volunteer for that, but there's something about experience beyond your strength and getting something done. Knowing that that's God from then on. There's something about that. But you have to enter into the high, deep waters. We preached a message not too long on launching out into the deep. You have to get out. You have to get out, way out of your comfort zone and into stormy weather, unknown territory, and knowing that if the Lord pulls out, you're sunk. But I've seen God in my own life and as others. I've seen God do miraculous work in those times where He gives strength. Look at trials and know somehow inside peace that passeth understanding. You know, I don't want to complain, but one time I thought I was going to die. And I laid down real peaceful and said, if it's tonight, it's tonight. But I'm going to get a good night's rest before this. If it happens, I'm just going to drift off. And I actually had a preacher friend of mine tell me, he said, you know, that's how it felt to me. And he about died, and then he did die. And here's what he said. He said, you know, I was in the bathroom, and he said, I knew I was close to death. He said, I just felt like I could float right off. And that's what I was thinking about as I was feeling that way. You know, I'm thinking, well, you know, I guess that maybe that is how you feel. And I'll just drift off then. But refuge and strength. I'll tell you that the word strength carries the idea of power, of might, of boldness, of force. Now God with us gives us that. And I've seen people with bodies decayed that had peace and strength that God gave them. And then it goes on there, and so we have a refuge, we have strength, we have very present help. I think maybe we say that too fast. Very present, that's one thing. Otherwise, He's there. But He's not just there, He's there to help. That's even more, amen? I mean, there's you ever, somebody's helping you, but they're no help? They're there, but they're really no help. But you know, you're helping them. You know, they're there to help you. Well, maybe that's how I am to God, but God's help. He's not just there, God is help. And we've seen God help over and over and over. Not only be there, but God help. And the word has, when it talks about their help, it says very present help. That word very present carries the idea He's ready, He's available now. Not He's. Now, you know, there's a paraphrase version of the Bible, and in honesty, a paraphrase is just what somebody thought the Bible said, but they've made it a Bible, which it's not. They've made that, but in one of those paraphrases, and it says this: it says that your God is maybe He's sleeping, or He's out, you know, and He isn't. Well, you know, God is always not sleeping. Amen. He's a very present help. Others may, but He is not. And He's there when we need Him. We, you know, you don't get a busy signal. Isn't that frustrating? How many of you call their landline are not there? You text them, no answer. You call them on their cell phone, no answer. You email them, you Facebook them. You know, if you're in one house, you'd go nuts trying to take care of all that, wouldn't you? You'd have to answer something sooner or later, but the Lord's line, never busy. Always somebody there to answer. You probably, maybe unless you're a secretary, you haven't experienced this quite in its true sense, to have like 3-4 phone lines ringing, and you're in charge of answering all those at once. Now, a good secretary will answer it by the second answer. They should, by the third, you should have, shouldn't get to the third. You wouldn't know, that sounds easy, but you've experienced it. You call somebody, have put you on hold. They don't ask. Just put you on hold. Sometimes it's easier to go there face to face than it is, or maybe you call them because you get somebody quicker. Because they have to put it on hold to get rid of the next person, put them on hold to get to the next person. And they don't have time to talk because they should get it by a certain ring. How do you like it when it rings and rings and rings? Okay, buddy. The Lord never happens. Very present help. And what's He a help in? He doesn't run when others do. In trouble. He's a very present help in trouble. You know, in verse 2, it says, therefore, which ties us into verse 1. It says, therefore, will the result of verse 1 is, therefore, will not we what? That verse itself ought to be the result, ought to be verse 2. It says, and God creates a circumstance that I don't think is, I believe he creates it so violent that the idea is that this isn't going to get this bad, but it's if it does, it's still okay. And he says, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now, I've never been in a storm like that, but I'll tell you, if anything can make you fear is watch the world dissolve. But God says, if that happens, circumstances is he made it so far out there, the idea is, I still don't want you to worry. You can still have fear. I'll still be there. So when you think about that reliance, therefore will we not fear. The word fear carries the idea of not afraid, not dreadful, not frightened. I'm telling you that I've faced that, and I've seen others face situations that are life-threatening without fear, without fright, and face those well. The idea of reliance in verse 2, therefore will we not fear, is the idea that God's immutable, God's stationary, God's firm, God's unshakable, God's going to take care of us in that situation. And then it says, not only at verse 2, but it says, look at that, it says, verse 3 actually, it says the first word, through the waters, though the waters, let's go back to verse 2, got the wrong word here. Verse 2, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. I got the idea that in the midst of the trouble, he's there. So we have reliance upon God. We have a refuge of God. And then look at this. We have a river here mentioned of God, beginning in verse 4. But I want to back up and read verse 3 again. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, and then the word Selah. Selah means, I get the idea of two things. I get the idea of amen, but I get the idea mainly the meaning is read it again. Or that's right, which means amen. So it means pause, think about it, meditate it, go back and read that again. And so think about Brother Terry, what is it when you, what's it called when you come to that and it makes you go back and sing it again? A repeat. So that's a repeat in a song. Go back, repeat that. Verse 4, we see that there's a river. Now, some of these churches popping up today, there's some wild, weird places, but they have one that popped up here in our area. It's called the river. Now, I don't know what all he's taking, but I'm going to just tell you that's a good Bible word, the river. Because there's a lot of reference to river in the Bible. And here we have, there is a river. Now, I know there's a river. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say there is a river, and I'm talking about the Bible? What's the first thing that pops in your mind? What river? The Jordan and a better river. River of life, that's right. Coming out from the throne of God, that is that pure, refreshing water. That's the first thing I think about. Second thing I think about, I heard a Jew preach on this over in Israel one time, and he spoke, what made me think about it, this is a millennium passage talking about the river, and the river in a millennium, what happens is somewhere the river is going to go, it's going to come right from the throne of God there, the physical throne of God, it's going to open up, it's going to crack, and it's going to run down to the Dead Sea, which is going to open up and make everything alive down through there, and the sea is going to go right on into the Mediterranean, everything's going to live because it's going to come gushing out of that river. Now, you never see anything, but I'm telling you, when water, you could spit in the ground, something will grow in the desert if you get it to hold water. I know it goes down through there, but I'm telling you, things just pop. When you see those oases, the reason there's oases is because there's water there. Everything just grows out from there. There's a stream. You see things just pop out for the stream. Now, it is as dead as it can be everywhere else. I mean, the air is so, you can't hardly suck in air. It's so dry. It's hot and dry, and you want in a little refreshing. A little water is so refreshing in the desert. It just extremely stands out in that situation. So when I think about that, when I think about a river, I think about an infinite supply. I think about refreshment. I think about purity. When I think about purity, what would I be thinking about for a river that's in here tonight? It's a pure drink. God's Word, that's right, the Bible. Water of the Word of God. And, you know, that we're cleansed by it. I think about the power of the Word of God. So I think about purity. It carries the idea of river. I think about healing. You know, you see somebody hurt. Hey, let me get a rag. Get some water. Put it on there. I think about healing. You know, how taking somebody down by the river and, you know, fixing you up. Let me fix you up. You know, we'll have you fixed up in no time at all. So I think about healing. All that associated with there's a river. I'll just tell you, that's good news in a dry land, that there's a river. And it goes on there, and it says, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad. Boy, I'll tell you, there's something refreshing about that. The city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. And so, a river also carries the idea of a supply, carries the idea of refreshment, carries the idea of purity, carries the idea of healing, carries the idea of a mighty force. It's amazing the strength of a river. Now, years ago, we took people on a river ride down in Youghiogheny River in Pennsylvania. And one of the things I told them, I said, whatever you do, no matter how deep the water is, you don't stand up. You float. You get knocked out of the raft, you lift your legs up, and you float through the rapids, and it's set up very nice there. You have all kinds of different class rapids, the size of them. But if you get knocked out of the raft, you put your legs up and you float right on down the river. You don't try to stand up. Even if it's 2 feet high, wait until you get down to the river is calm. The reason is the river always wins. And I saw, they made you watch a video. And it was effective video. I've never, embedded in my mind, they had somebody that tried to stand up. And what happened is their feet got entangled in a rock. And so for a while, they're okay. But what happens is you start leaning and you can't get back to get your foot just a little bit this way out of that rock. And so the water is consistently the force pushing you. And when it pushes you down, you can't get back up. You might get back up once or twice. But the river wins. And so it wasn't a deep water that the person drowned in. It wasn't deep water. It was just they tried to walk across something that is, extremely powerful. Rivers are powerful sources. And depending on how fast they're running. But this river is a mighty river. So it carries the idea of power. It carries the idea of force. And then I think it's interesting, the rest of this psalm, how this is. Let me go back and just share a quick Psalms, and we'll read the rest of this and close. We talked about a refuge. We also have this in verse 7. It says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our what? And then what? So go back, sing it again. Sing it again. It's a good thought. And so, the Lord of hosts carries the idea that Revelation talks about angels innumerable. How many is that? Without number, innumerable. There's no number. Quadzillion. Well, I don't know how quadzillion is. I don't know what that is. And so, lots. And he's the Lord of hosts. Hey, he is with you. That's good to know. That's good to know when you're feeling lonely. Isn't it? That's good to know. That's good to know when you're the only one at work taking a stand. That's good to know when you're the only one at school, sometimes even Christian schools, taking a stand on something that you think is with us. The God of Jacob is the God of Jacob. Have you ever prayed that prayer? I have. And I said, and the God of Don. Amen? Help me! there of the refuge. I wanted you to see that. And then also with that, verse 11, it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And it says, he wants it drilled in. God is our river for you. And that river rage, I think of this. I think of Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Saith the Lord, God will take care of you. We have a friend of cuss. It says, you have to put money in it. They hear you cussing, you have to put money in it. And the label says, God will get you. In the end, God takes care of it, amen. You know, you think you have a rage. I tell you what, our rage is nothing compared to God's rage. When you finally cross the day of grace and you enter the wrath of God, you're in big trouble. And so that's the rage. And the rest of it kind of gives them encouragement from there that, hey, I know you're having a tough time. I know it's difficult. I know everybody's not for you. But the day's coming that God's going to take care of all that.